his left. Tough shot. Made it. End of the line.
Bad pass. Tipped away and Indiana's got it. Up the floor to Oladipo. He will lay up. Score!
Jones. Watson for the win.
Yes! It's Indiana. It's Indiana.
What's going on, Hoosier fans? Welcome back to another edition of Podcast on the Brink. Matt Dollinger here. Once again, I'm joined by my co-host, Justin Albers. What's going on, Justin?
Not a lot. Long time no talk, Matt. It's good to be back.
It is. It's good to be back, and we're sorry for the delay. I've been busy in real life, moving up to New York, starting a new job, moving into an apartment, doing all kinds of boring grown-up things. Luckily, some of them are now out of the way. Still got an apartment filled with boxes, but I'll probably figure that out in the next couple of months.
You have finally reached the big time, Matt. Big time New York.
At least I've reached the Big Apple. Not sure about the big time, but I'm getting there, slowly but surely. Anyways, Justin, we got a lot to talk about. It's been over a week since we've done a show. The Hoosiers have played several games since we've last spoken. Most recently, the loss to Ohio State the other night, 67-58. Kind of a letdown game. The Buckeyes spoiled IU's pre-planned party, but the Hoosiers still went through with it anyways. What were your thoughts from that game?
Yeah, I mean, Ohio State's a team, if you watch them throughout the year, you figure Indiana would have a pretty good chance to beat them. They beat them pretty easily at Ohio State, which is never an easy place to play, but when Ohio State can get offensive performances like they did from Aaron Kraft and Sam Thompson on Tuesday night, then they're a much more dangerous team and a team that could potentially make a run in the tournament because they're always pretty good defensively. But from the Indiana standpoint, they just really never got into a rhythm. I mean, Victor Oladipo picked up two early fouls. He was really never in the flow of the game. And when he's not in the flow, then you could potentially face some problems. And outside of Cody Zeller and Christian Watford, you have nobody else that scores in double figures, which is pretty odd to see from a team that's been as balanced as Indiana's been all year. Seven total bench points, two from Will Sheehy on 1-for-6 shooting. It was just everything added up in the negative for Indiana, a way that you don't want it to go if you're going to make a run in the tournament. And I think a lot of Indiana fans are pretty worried right now after that loss.
Yeah, I mean, Ohio State definitely put out a blueprint on how to beat the Hoosiers. They really took IU out of their comfort zone. Not only did, you know, they win the battle on the boards, but they were just overall the more physical team. It really kind of showed you that the Hoosiers are susceptible. And it's the first time, though, we've really seen it at home like that. You know, overall, I just thought IU lacked that fighting spirit and, you know, that kind of edge that they've had in other games. They've lost 2 of 3 now, which is a little concerning, and the game against Michigan to wrap up the regular season is it's going to be really tough to win. I think most IU fans have probably penned that game in for a loss earlier this season when IU beat the Wolverines in Bloomington. We just kind of figured Michigan would get revenge in Ann Arbor. You know, it's not the way you want to be entering the conference tournament, obviously. Do you think that the Michigan game is winnable, or are you pretty worried as well?
I mean, I think it's winnable, but it shouldn't have to come down to the Michigan game because you have Ohio State at home with a chance to lock up the Big Ten sole possession of the Big Ten title, and that's really all you could hope for in this conference. I mean, you're supposed to win the games at home, whether you're playing Michigan, Michigan State, who they beat both of those teams, and then they can't beat Ohio State, and I mean, admittedly, Ohio State had a good game plan. They were going to stack the lane. They were going to try and take away Watford and Zeller. And they were going to try and make it hard for Oladipo to come off those dribble handoffs and try and go right to the lane. I mean, every time he tried to do that, they had a defender right there, and it usually resulted in a turnover. Indiana really didn't adjust. I do think the Michigan game is potentially winnable. I wouldn't predict that they would win it. But I don't think Michigan's playing at as high a level as they were earlier in the season, and I think they're definitely beatable. But Indiana's going to have to play really well to go up there and win and clinch the Big Ten title on Sunday.
I really thought the backbreaker against Ohio State was Aaron Kraft on offense. I mean, you assume he's going to do a great job on defense, and of being a floor general, but for him to get 17 points on 7-10 shooting and just make one big basket after another down the stretch, I mean, I think that really did IU in, and it was probably something they didn't really expect would be their downfall.
Right, and they're all at the end of the shot clock. I mean, he dribbles around for 30 seconds and then drives in a little bit and hits those bank shots. Those were daggers, and then obviously the Deshaun Thomas three-pointer when they're up by six and Indiana fails to correctly switch and he hits a wide-open three to put them up nine, that pretty much ends the game right there.
What did you think about, I guess, the post-game festivities? Obviously, the senior speeches were really good. Those are always kind of a highlight of IU's year, in my opinion. Did you have any problems with any of the other celebrations kind of celebrating IU's share of the Big Ten title after a loss?
I mean, I understand the presentation of the trophy because you have clinched at least a share of the Big Ten title, even though you lost the game. But the way in which they did it, I didn't really necessarily agree with that. I mean, cutting down the nets after a loss when you only have a share of the Big Ten title,
yeah.
I think the Indiana program, regardless of how far it fell, is higher than that. I just don't think you celebrate sharing a Big Ten title after a loss the way that they did. Now, if it's the last game of the regular season and you win to earn a share of the Big Ten title, I think that's different, and maybe you go about it differently. But, I mean, the players themselves didn't even seem to enjoy that celebration. They were out there kind of with dazed looks on their faces, not a lot of smiles, and they're cutting down the nets after a disappointing loss. I didn't necessarily agree with that, and I don't think that sends the right message that Tom Crane wants to send.
It definitely had the vibe of something, you know, organized by an administrator and that the Hoosiers were forced to kind of go through. You know, I understand part of it. It was the last home game. When else are you going to do it? You know, you're not going to do it in Ann Arbor. That probably wouldn't go over right. Too well. And you know, you can't do it at the Big Ten tournament, even though it's up in Indy. So I do understand the timing of it, but I'm with you. It felt weird, didn't it?
I mean, would Bob Knight ever do that? Would his teams ever be celebrating like that after a loss?
There's a lot of things Bob Knight wouldn't do. That's for another podcast, probably.
True.
All right. Well, we've got a lot to talk about with our guest today. We've got Matt Roth coming on the program, former IU guard, looking forward to talking to him about his time at IU, his thoughts on the Hoosiers this year, and also want to talk to him a little bit about his senior speech. Most of you remember last year. I went back and listened to it before the show, and I think he's going to have some interesting things to say about that. So let's take a short break, and when we come back, we'll be joined by Matt Roth. All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. We are now joined by our guest, very excited to have him on the show. Matt Roth, former IU guard, is kind enough to join us today. Matt, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty well, just getting ready to head over to a lunch appointment here after a little while. So I'm out in the real world now, so no more sleeping in on the weekdays.
Yeah, what is it like, you know, making that transition from going, you know, playing basketball and being a student full-time to being out as a professional now? I'm sure it's a little bit different not practicing every day.
Oh, that's the biggest difference, being away from the game. But there's a lot of things that being a college athlete kind of helps with the transition. You learn how to manage time and process tasks and get them done in an efficient manner, and that's ultimately the goal when you're working to get your work done as soon as you can and get it done the right way. So it's helped me out, and at the same time, it's been pretty difficult just being away from the game, so to speak, I guess.
Matt, obviously, I saw you there on Tuesday night at the Ohio State game. Obviously, not the result Indiana wanted, but first, let's talk about the senior speeches afterward. I know you had the opportunity to give one about a year ago now. What were your thoughts on those, and especially on Jordan Hull's, which got pretty emotional pretty quick there?
Yeah, I think they all did a very good job. Obviously, I can't even imagine giving my senior speech if we would have lost on my senior night to Purdue. that would have made it even harder to do. So I know there's a lot going on in their minds, and they had to try and come out there and talk to, you know, 14,000-15,000 people about their career, and ultimately they were more devastated with the outcome of the game, and I think it was hard for them, but I thought they all did a good job. Obviously, Jordan was probably the most emotional out of any of them, but that didn't really surprise me. He's overcome a lot in his career. He's gone through some tough times. He's gone through a lot of people on the outside doubting his abilities and his skills, but they don't see the leadership and the passion that he brings every day. I don't want to say it was good to see him get emotional, but I think it hit home with a lot of people that, you know, what he's been able to do in 4 years has meant everything to him and his family. So,
Matt, I went back and listened to your speech. First of all, I have to congratulate you on keeping it under 10 minutes. That seems to be the hardest thing to do of all. And, you know, you had a lot of laughs in yours and a lot of good stuff in there. And I just want to kind of get your, you know, what it's like going from playing basketball in front of 15,000-17,000 people versus speaking in front of 15,000-17,000 people. Is it a dramatically different experience?
For me, it wasn't too bad. I don't mind getting up and talking in front of people, whether it was teaching class through some of my grad school classes or being out in front of a group of students. I was a little nervous beforehand. Even to this day, I don't know that I've ever sat down and actually just wrote out a speech. I'd rather just get up there and talk and kind of whatever comes to mind. Obviously, I tried to think my way through it beforehand, but, you know, when I got up there, there's probably some stuff I forgot to say, and there's stuff I probably said that I had no idea where it came from. So I didn't want to sit up there and read off of a piece of paper. There's a million people I could have thanked. I obviously couldn't do all of that. And, you know, I just wanted to thank the people that were there, thank the fans, and just kind of enjoy, you know, the last 4 years and then obviously the great season we were having last year. I just wanted to celebrate that and then be on my way. So,
former Indiana guard Matt Roth is with us. Matt, you mentioned Jordy's speech, and obviously you're a guy that's gotten to see Jordan's progression over the course of his career up pretty close. How far has Jordan come, and just how big of a part was he in changing the culture at Indiana with his work ethic and being in the gym constantly?
Yeah, those are the key, the work ethic and just being in the gym. When he came in, we didn't have a great foundation. We were building on it. We had a couple classes, my class being the first four-year class, but we were trying to build a way of how things were handled at Indiana. And he came in, and he and I spent a lot of time in the gym together. And that just encouraged other guys to join us, whether it was Victor or Will or other guys through the years. It just kind of bred that culture. And, you know, he's obviously come a long way in the achievements and the great things he's done. But at the end of the day, it's hard to say he's changed a lot. He's doing the same things he's always done. He gets in the gym. He gets his shots up. He has a rhythm and a way he wants to get his workouts done, and that really hasn't changed. He's obviously added things to his game throughout the years, but the work ethic, the routines, none of that's changed, and that's ultimately why he's become so successful.
How rewarding has it been watching IU this year from afar? As you mentioned, you were a member of the first four-year class to turn it around, and this year we've seen IU reach number one in the nation for a good portion of the year. Has it been fun to watch from afar, or is it something, you know, you kind of wish you were in Bloomington still playing and being a part of?
Well, I think it doesn't matter what the team is. I'm always going to want to go back and play, whether it's in 10 years from now or if it's tomorrow. That's just the competitor in me wants to always be out there. But it's been a lot of fun watching them grow, watching them obviously achieve so much with at least a share of the Big Ten and being ranked number one for the majority of the season and probably being the most consistent team throughout the year as far as the standings and the rankings and also their output on the court. So it's been a lot of fun seeing them grow, see guys like Victor come out and have a great year because I see all the work he's done behind the scenes. And it's a lot of fun, but at the same time, it's frustrating because you never want to see him not play well or or get knocked off by somebody, but it's college basketball, and that's the great thing about it. There's so many teams that on any night you could get beat, and obviously we've seen that time after time this year, not just with IU, but across the board. So it's been a lot of fun. There's been some frustrating times, but they're still growing. They're young. They've got a good group of seniors, and they're just going to keep building and growing from where they're at right now.
Was there ever a time, Matt, after last season where you thought you'd be back here next year, or where it was close to you being offered to come back for a fifth year, or did you never think, was that never really close to happening?
I don't know how close it was to happening. It was definitely in my mind, and I know it was in, you know, the staff's mind, and I'm sure some of the guys were thinking about it too. There was a lot of things that were going into it, and there was obviously enough for me to want to keep coming back and to keep me working out and playing in open gyms, either back home or up in Fort Wayne where I'm in now. So it was definitely a thought, a possibility. I knew there was a lot of things that would have had to go my way, and things didn't quite, you know, fall into place like that. But it's part of growing up. I knew that, you know, they were going to be in a crunch for scholarships, and it didn't work out. And, you know, it's unfortunate because I would have loved to keep playing. But at the same time, the possibility of playing there far outweighed going somewhere else and playing 1 year. Like I could have probably done at a couple different schools, but it just wasn't worth it to me. I was too happy and I guess too loyal to what I've achieved at Indiana to go try and do something anywhere else.
And as we mentioned before, you were back in Bloomington earlier this week for the IU-Ohio State game, and you had a really good view of the Hoosiers in person. So if we could get you for a few minutes to put on your coaching hat for a second, what did you kind of see out of the Hoosiers that kind of led to their struggles? We've seen them play so well for a majority of the year, but Tuesday night was a bit of a hiccup, held to just 58 points against the Buckeyes.
Yeah, well, a lot of that is nothing more than Ohio State being a great team and obviously having a great head coach. I thought they executed the game very well. I kept telling, you know, Tom Pritchard, who was sitting next to me, and a couple other friends that were around me, you know, they're just, look at the difference. We get the ball and we're playing our up tempo, trying to get out in transition and push off turnovers and rebounds. And as soon as they get the ball, you know, there's 26 seconds on the shot clock when they cross half court. They were just doing such a great job of slowing the game down. And then in the second half, when they pulled away, I think it was a tie game, or maybe they were up one, something like that. And I think they probably scored 7 to 9 points in the last 5 seconds of the shot clock, which is extremely difficult to do because you have to make a tough shot, but they made them and ultimately pulled away there down the stretch. So, you know, I thought Ohio State came in and executed their game plan. We tried to speed them up, and it didn't work. You know, the only thing I may have thrown at them would have been a little, I've seen it at times from IU, but throw a little three-quarter court press, not trying to turn them over, just speed them up a little bit and then fall back into zone or match up man-to-man, one of the two, just to try and speed it up, because it seemed like they were really coming across half court right at that 10-second count more often than not. But that's how they plan to win the game, and they came in and, like I said, made a lot of tough shots down the stretch and then knocked down some free throws at the end. So
Matt Roth is with us. One of the areas, Matt, that Indiana struggled on Tuesday was a lack of a presence from the bench, at least offensively, only 7 total points and only 2 from 6-man Will Sheehy. How important do you see the bench being going down the stretch if Indiana's to make a deep run into the Big Ten and NCAA tournaments here?
Well, I think that's something that's going to have to be there when they play their best, when they're playing at the highest level. Their bench is being really productive. And it's not always points. You know, Will has a great ability to come off the bench and score, but they all have an ability to influence the game in other ways, you know, whether it's Remy coming in and just playing, you know, 3 to 4 good minutes of defense to get Jordan or Yogi a break. You know, things like that are going to go a long way in determining how successful they are. They're going to have to get some scoring from the bench, but that's going to be there. They've got too much talent coming to the games not to have scoring. So the scoring's not really you know, a concern. I thought, what was it, Tuesday night, I thought Will gave him good energy on defense. I thought he did a pretty good job chasing around a couple of their shooters. I thought Jeremy actually played really well in the first half, off coming off the bench, gave him some good minutes and rebounding. I think late first half, Mo hit a three, which is something he's got to continue to do. He's got to, when he gets in there, he's got to seize that opportunity and find a shot. So the bench is going to be key. When you're playing in the Big Ten tournament and you're playing, you know, 3-4 games in 3 or 4 days, and then you turn around in the NCAA tournament and you're playing every other day on the weekends, you're going to have some scoring from the bench, because guys are going to have an off night. Guys are going to have a game where they're in foul trouble, like we saw in the first half Tuesday. So the bench is going to be, it's going to be a big key, because they're a very talented bench. You know, they have some depth, and they've proven time and time this year that they can come in and provide a big lift for them. So I think the bench is going to be a big key moving forward, but at the same time, it's going to take, you know, all 9-10 guys who are on the court that given night that playing minutes, are they're all going to have to come together and score the ball and defend and rebound. And if they do that, they've proven they can beat just about anybody.
Well, Matt, one thing that always amazed me about your game was you'd be able to come off the bench at any point, and it seemed like you were always in rhythm, able to, you know, sit the first 10 minutes of a game, come off the bench ice cold, and drill a couple of 25-footers really quick. How hard is it, you know, to stay loose during a game, and what did you kind of do to deal with that, where you're able to come off the bench and kind of be in rhythm already?
Well, a lot of it came behind the scenes. You know, there were days where we'd have a conditioning and a weightlifting session, and then I would purposely just take 30, 40 minutes and then come back out and do a shooting workout, and have to, I didn't stretch or anything. It'd be catch and shoot 15 footers and then move around and start getting into a full sweat again, just to simulate some of that stuff where I knew I'd be coming off the bench. And then I carried that same mentality into the game. Anybody who got to the game 2 hours early would have known I was the first or second person on the court, depending on what Jordan was doing that day. And I'd be out there, and by the time it was an hour before tip-off, I was in a full sweat and ready to play at that point. And then that was just kind of simulating what I practiced, because at first it was difficult early in my career to sit for, you know, 15 minutes of a first half and come in and be expected to play at a high level. So it was just a mentality and something I did practice from time to time, but it was just mentally being engaged, always paying attention to, you know, what kind of shots are going to be open. You know, are we going to have a lot of baseline drives and kick to the corner? And just staying locked in mentally and then stepping in. And you practice with those guys every day and spend as much time as I did in the gym with them. It's really easy to be in a rhythm being out there on the court with them. It's just a matter of then stepping up and knocking down the shots. And I was able to do that really well, especially my senior year.
Just to go on a little mini tangent, how often do you still play basketball, and is the three-point stroke still there?
I'm trying to play at least twice a week right now, depending on work schedule and travel and all that kind of stuff that I have to balance now. It doesn't always happen, but the jump shot's been pretty good. I think one of the games I filled in on my buddy's team at the YMCA, I think it was a little 8-for-11 performance, and I didn't take any challenge shots that night, so it could have been a lot better, but I'll settle for 8-for-11, I guess.
Did the opposing team know what they were up against, or did you catch them by surprise?
I think we caught them by surprise. I don't know. I would have liked to think they knew, but if they didn't, they figured it out pretty quick.
Matt, we already talked about Jordan Holes, but another player that's gotten a lot of attention nationally lately is Victor Oladipo, a guy that's developed through his 3 years in the program. What have been your thoughts on his play so far this year, and did you think he'd be as good as he's been this year, especially with that three-point jump shot? Did you think he'd be able to develop that as quickly as he has?
Well, I, and no offense to Victor, but I don't think he's developed it quickly, because from the time he's got on campus, you know, 3 years ago, the first thing he tried to do was get in a shooting drill with Jordan and myself, and, you know, he didn't stand a chance his freshman year. of sticking around in those shooting drills with us, but he didn't get discouraged. You know, that he learned, you know, Victor's got a great ability to talk and try and get in our heads while we're playing. And so he would start to use some of those antics, and eventually the confidence got there and he started shooting the ball a lot better. And last year it didn't really show in game. It did at times, but going into this year, there's no question in my mind that anytime Jordan's in the gym shooting, Victor is somewhere close, just because he knows that it just takes practice and developing it. And obviously, if you're shooting against one of the best shooters in the conference every day, you're going to get a lot better and hold yourself to a higher level of expectations. And I think he's done that this year.
Matt, before we let you go, just had one or two more questions. One of them was, you know, you really endured some tough times at IU. I covered those games for the IDS, and I remember them just as much as you do, I'm sure. What sticks with you more, you know, now that you're no longer in Bloomington? Was it the last year where you guys enjoyed so much success, or was it those hard times where maybe you learned some lessons and really had maybe some team bonding experiences?
I think it's definitely a combination. You know, watching them play this year and go up to Michigan State, and anytime you go up there, you're probably in for a football game, not a basketball game, on the boards, and it's just extremely physical in a good way. It's not dirty. It's not anything like that, but it's just, you know, watching them go up there and compete and walk out of there with a win, you know, stuff like that kind of hits home when you think about some of the crazy drills we did as freshmen and sophomores that made absolutely no sense to us then. But they were definitely getting us ready to go out there and win games like that. And, we won some last year. Obviously, we didn't do as well on the road as they have this year. And I think it's neat to see all the stuff we did to build that foundation for what was expected day in and day out at Indiana. And to see it pay off this year in the form of, you know, ultimately, you know, hopefully, I'm not a big fan of sharing, so hopefully things get taken care of business on Sunday. But, you know, to see them back, and it looks like they've locked up the one seed in the Big Ten tournament, to see them accomplish that, it's been a lot of fun, and it makes those, you know, two or three real rough years a little bit better for me.
Matt, before we let you go, we're going to put you on the spot here and ask for your prediction. What do you think about the postseason? How far do you see Indiana going?
Oh, I'd be crazy not to say, you know, when I fill out my bracket, they're going to be, you know, they're going to be in Atlanta, and hopefully they're going to be playing on Monday night, in my opinion. But a lot of things can happen between now and then. If anything I've learned through the years, I always cheer for the underdogs, and now I find myself with the, you know, my guys, my former team, and being the top dog. So I'm hoping that they avoid all those upsets and, you know, the Cinderella stories, and just take care of business, you know, what is it, six times in the NCAA tournament, and I'll be real happy with the way the season ended up then.
Yeah, it's been such a weird year in college basketball. All the one seeds will probably make it to the Final Four now, just to throw us one last curveball. Well, hey, Matt, thanks so much for coming on the program. We really appreciate it. It's been great catching up with you and getting your take. And if I ever see you at the YMCA, I'm probably just going to run the other way, so don't take any offense.
All right, not a problem. Take care, guys.
Thanks, Matt.
All right, well, that will do it for this episode of Podcast on the Brink. Justin and I are going to be back next week to preview the Big Ten tournament. Justin, before I let you go, what's your prediction for Sunday?
I'm going to have to go with Michigan by about 5 or 7 points. I think it'll be a close game, but ultimately a share of a Big Ten title for Indiana.
I'm going to go with IU winning just because I can't see them losing 3 out of 4 to end the regular season. It's just been such a good year for the Hoosiers. I really think that they are going to bounce back in Ann Arbor, even though everything points to Michigan. I just can't see them going out that way, but we'll have a lot to talk about either way for our show next week. Justin and I will record a Big Ten tournament preview show, so be sure to check back with Inside the Hall. Until then, for Justin Albers, I'm Matt Dollinger. Thanks for listening, and have a good one.